All right, the recorder is started, and so we are going to be looking at NTI Revelation chapter 15 tonight, which is on page 479. And we might do two. We'll see. 15 looks very short. Calvin, just as an FYI, what Revelation is primarily about is looking in your mind and finding everything in it that is not pure, everything in it that is ego, and learning to let go of it, learning to disbelieve it, learning to release it. So I personally call that purification, purifying the mind. But that's what Revelation 15 is about, or all of Revelation, actually. So starting with verses 1 to 4, the walk within the recesses of the mind is not a struggle. Whenever you notice the feeling of struggle, you know that the desire for resistance has taken hold. Rest yourself for a moment and remember that willingness does not struggle. Let the struggle fade away and return yourself to the true desire of the heart. So whenever we are learning to let go of our judgments, of our belief in guilt, unworthiness, of fear, of all of these types of things, it's best when this process is in somewhat of a relaxed manner. Like the more relaxed that we can be while we're looking at our mind and letting things go, the better. And this is why a lot of people will do it in a meditative way. They'll take the time to meditate and get in that very deep, deep state of relaxation and then watch the things come up and let them go because they're in that deep state of relaxation. And that's very helpful. But we can't always be in that deep state of relaxation when something happens in our life and pushes something up, right? So, you know, you could have a car accident. And you could get out of the car thinking, I'm going to be all spiritual and nice about this. And the guy comes roaring at you, and the next thing you know, you've forgotten all about being all spiritual and nice, and you're roaring, but it was your fault. And then you start feeling guilty because you had planned on being all spiritual and nice, and you weren't. And all this stuff starts coming up. Well, of course, all this stuff is an opportunity to look at everything that you're believing. Like even the idea, I'm going to be all spiritual and nice, already you were trying to define yourself with a false spiritual ego, you know what I mean? And then you wanted to live up to this image you created for yourself, and then you weren't able to. So like there's this whole thing that's happening in your mind. And what you want to be able to do is look at that. But if you're having a lot of trouble looking at that in the moment, that is because resistance is stronger in you in this moment than willingness. That's what's happening. Resistance has taken hold. You know, you've got all this guilt going on. You've got this anger going on. How does this guy say it's your fault when you know darn well it was his? How could you have failed yourself and not been spiritual and nice? And all, this whole storm is going on, and you're not able to sit back and watch your mind in the way that you want to in order to release. So what you are asked to do is to rest yourself. In other words, sometimes when it's burning too hot, you can't look at your mind in that moment. It's burning too hot. So what you want to do is you want to just focus on resting yourself. You want to focus on calming down. You want to focus on just letting the emotions grow weaker. And then when you feel like enough of the roar has passed, then you can start looking. One image that came to me once, again, during a personal message, was the image of being in a river for some reason. Don't ask me why, but in a river. And there were leaves floating in the river, and the leaves represented thoughts that needed to be looked at and let go of, tossed out of the river. But there came this one point where I was in these rapids, and the leaves are just going by so fast, and I'm doing everything I can to try and even stand up. I couldn't look at the leaves then, right? So what I did, there was this limb overhead, and I just kind of held onto the limb, and again, this is a vision, not real life, so it doesn't make sense, but I held onto the limb, and I just stood there resting myself, and as I rested myself, the water started slowing down. And then when the water slowed down, they were going by more gently, and I was able to then pick up the leaves and say, nope, I don't want that one, nope, I don't want that one. So it's kind of a crazy image, but that's what this paragraph is talking about. If there's too much resistance and there's, you know, it's just too wild right now, Don't make it worse by thinking that you're supposed to be able to look at your thoughts and let them go right now. Instead, just rest, right? And everything will calm down. And then you can. That's what it means by let the struggle fade away, right? Okay, so now we're going to look at verses 5 to 8, but I'm going to read, whenever there's a little Bible icon, I read from the Bible before we read the interpretation. So I'm going to read from the Bible, NTI Revelation chapter 15, verses 5 to 8. And the Bible says, "After this I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is, the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. When one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed." All right, so this actually reminds me of what Dan was talking about before we turned on the recorder. You'll see why in a moment. So the NTI interpretation of this says, "The seven angels are dressed in white, which represents perfection and innocence. The golden sashes represent holiness. Together, the seven angels represent your truth. Keep your eyes fixed on them." So what's interesting about what the Bible is saying now is the Bible is talking about these seven angels dressed in white and gold, but it says that they have these bowls that are filled with the wrath of God, and it says something about no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues that comes from that wrath is complete, right? It doesn't sound like a very pretty picture. But NTI is saying, stay focused on the angels, not the bowls, with the wrath, not thinking about the future and what's going to happen when the wrath of God happens. Just stay focused on the angels. Stay focused on the fact that they represent your holiness. And isn't this kind of like what you were saying, Dan, before we started, right? You were talking about the murder of a child and that you could, you know, focus on the, we could call it the ugly details of that story, or you could stay focused on God, right? So this is saying when faced with situations like that, faced with the opportunity to misperceive something, stay focused on God. And again, if we take this in consideration with the first paragraph in NTI, the first paragraph of NTI was talking about a time when something has happened in your life and you are really upset in some way. You are really upset. And what happens to a lot of spiritual students when they are really upset is what they add to that is judging themselves. You know, like I've been in peace for the last 2 months. Everything's, and now it's ego. I've screwed up. I've done something wrong, right? So they add that to it. And what this is really saying is don't do that. Just remain focused on God. Remain focused on truth. Remain focused on purpose. Remain focused on your desire for truth. This is what you want to do during your resting. And let this storm pass on by, right? Don't get all caught up with the idea of a wrath of God. You're a poor spiritual student. Now you're a failure. Don't let your mind go to that thinking, because that's just adding more fuel to the fire. And in fact, NTI continues about these seven bowls. It says the seven bowls are said to contain God's wrath. But I tell you, the seven bowls are empty. Have faith in me, and you will not experience that which isn't there. Now, what's interesting, Holy Spirit is saying, have faith in me, and you won't experience that which isn't there. What happens if you don't have faith in Holy Spirit, though?
You're going to see all kinds of stuff.
Right. If you keep thinking about what a horrible, you know, spiritual student you are, and you just let your mind can spiral down, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, right? So you have to be able to not let your mind do that by saying, okay, this is just a lot of resistance right now. There's a lot of stuff coming up right now. I'm just going to breathe. I'm going to trust this process. I'm going to let this stuff come up. I may feel like a failure right now. That does not mean that I am. Every spiritual student goes through things coming up. How can I heal if I don't let it come up? Right, that's the way I always did it. I kind of like talked to myself. Because if I coached myself, right? And so that's really what this is recommending. Stay focused on your truth. Stay focused on your innocence. Rest through the, you know, through the storm. And don't believe the negative mind. And you'll be fine. That's what this says. Have faith in me and you will not experience that which isn't there. And in fact, the storm is going to end much faster. The ego storm is going to end much faster if you can practice this way. Because you're not adding any fuel to the fire. So that was very short. Shall we go on to NTI Revelation 16? Yeah, because that was just too short. Okay, 16 I love. 16, I think, if I remember correctly, it's one of my favorite chapters in Revelation. Now remember, this is a continuation of really what we just saw in 15. So again, imagine yourself, you're having this huge ego storm. But you're deciding to focus on your innocence, focus on trust, rest, let this pass, and we begin Revelation chapter 16. It is time to be quiet and still the mind. Within the stillness, there is a rustling, but what you hear and feel is the rustling of illusion. Still the mind in faith that the rustling is illusion. Let the rustling rustle, but hold only to the thought of stillness. So, you know, your mind is going on with some story, maybe about this car accident and how you weren't nice like you wanted to be and blah, 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 blah. That's the rustling. And now what you're doing is you're taking some deep breaths. You're realizing that you're caught up in resistance right now. You're realizing the ego is just spinning and spinning and spinning. And you're moving into stillness. Now, what's interesting is as soon as you start talking about stillness, some people think, well, then the mind needs to be quiet. And if you're in a really big ego storm, guess what? The mind's not going to be quiet. So there's a way to move into stillness even while the mind is going on with whatever it's going on. And I'll do my best to describe it. It's hard sometimes to talk about these things. But stillness isn't about whether the mind is loud or not. Stillness is about whether your attention is moving around or staying in one place. Your attention. So your mind can be going blah, 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 and you can place your attention with your breath. Or you can place your attention with your heart. Or you could place your attention with a loving mantra. You know, maybe I choose to trust the Holy Spirit. I'm innocent. I choose to trust the Holy Spirit. I'm innocent. Or whatever, right? But you place your attention with something helpful rather than letting it chase after all those thoughts that are in the mind right now. That is being still. So let the rustling rustle. Another reason that line is in here is because, you know, a lot of people make the mistake. Again, we have the thought in my mind, I'm a poor spiritual student because I'm thinking all of these thoughts. I shouldn't be. And they try to repress the thoughts, right? You know that if you try to repress a thought, it's just going to come up on another day, in another way. We don't want to repress the thought. We want to let the storm spin until it peters out and dies. So you actually want to let it continue without your believing interest, right? You want to let it continue without your believing interest. So you're placing your attention on something helpful, you're letting the rustle rustle, and you're just not getting involved. You're going to let it wear itself out. So I'm going to start at the top again. It is time to be quiet and still the mind. Within the stillness, there is a rustling, but what you hear and feel is the rustling of illusion. Still the mind in faith that the rustling is illusion. And again, that's like still the attention. right? In faith that the rustling is illusion. Let the rustling rustle, but hold only to the thought of stillness. Be still. In this way, you do not acknowledge illusion. In this way, you do not acknowledge it as true. In this way, you do nothing. And nothing is the acknowledgement that nothing is due, right? So you're giving it no attention. Let peace rule the mind as all that is not true moves on through. So again, you can see these words are not talking about trying to stop it. It's just you move to whatever practice allows you to be still, be peaceful, be quiet, be patient, and let this thing finish itself without you. God is love. In silence, let this love be known. Heaven is all that is, and all that is realized through the passing of what is not. So while this storm is here, it can be very, very difficult to have any real sense of peace. Sometimes even sense of your own willingness can be lost in a storm. But this is telling us that if we just practice in the way we're being asked to practice here, this storm will pass on, and when it does, we'll realize our joy again, we'll realize our willingness again, we'll realize our connection to God again. It may all seem lost right now, but that's just like the blue sky seems lost behind a storm, but the blue sky is still there, right? If you go up in an airplane, it's still there. God is still here within us. And we just have to allow the storm to pass, and then we'll become aware of that again. Your belief comes from your faith. When you notice a belief in illusions, ask where your faith is now. Faith comes from desire. You know your true desire now. In questioning your faith, you remember your desire. In remembering desire, you loosen your grip on belief. So here's what that looks like. Again, I'm in an accident. I was going to be nice. I wasn't. I lost my temper. Maybe I was even downright mean. And then I got really angry because to me it was his fault. He's saying it's my fault. Now I'm trying to rest. But then every now and then the ego throws up some kind of a line that I listen to, like, well, you know, he was in the right lane and he turned left without a turn signal. Pretty soon I'm paying attention again, right? Well, this is saying when I catch myself paying attention again, what I can do is I can ask myself, what do I truly want? Because what happens in that moment when I got caught up in the story again is I thought I wanted to be right. Right? I want to be right about this. But if I ask myself, what do I truly want? I want to awaken. I want to know the truth. I want spiritual freedom. I want peace, right? When I remember that, I will lose interest in the mind, the story, and I'll come back to whatever spiritual practice I was doing during my resting time. So every time I catch myself getting caught up in the story again, I remind myself what I truly want, and I'll be able to shift back. And what's really nice about that, again, that's not a fight. That's a gentle reminder. If I try and struggle against the mind, like I'm caught up in this story, oh, I'm a bad spiritual student again, I don't want to be in this story, that's actually still just feeding it. I have to find a way to shift out of it without struggling against it. And that's what remembering my purpose does. What do I truly want? Peace, awakening, truth, you know, whatever, love, whatever works for you. And then you naturally lose interest, and you naturally come back to your practice. And it's not a struggle. It's a gentle shift. Verse 15. Fear is merely illusion that indicates you have slipped into judgment again. Wake yourself up and remember the stillness. And remembering is all fear undone. So one type of ego attack that happens to everyone at some point is extreme fear. Just extreme fear will come up when you're on the spiritual path. In the world, It could appear to be anything. It could be, appear to be a financial problem, a lawsuit, your spouse leaving you, your children sick. But this fear comes up that is just paralyzing. And it always happens at some point. And when this fear comes up, the way it wants you to look at the fear, again, it doesn't want you to believe the fear story, right? Like disaster is about to come. It wants you to realize you are judging. And what are you judging? You're saying, I think I know how this should be. I think I know I should have enough money. Or I think I know my spouse should stay with me. Or I think I know my child should not be sick. And the truth is, you don't know that. You don't know what's in the best interest of the whole. And so if you can let go of your judgment, your fear will go away too. Right? The only reason you're afraid is because of your judgment. You think you know how it should be. Verse 16. Resting in faith and trust is the answer to all that arises. In willingness and through true desire, prepare to become the empty shell. Now, the empty shell is referring back to NTI 1 Corinthians, but the empty shell is the one who, it's really without the personality and all of its judgments and all of its opinions and all of its values. You're the empty vessel that can be filled by God and moved by God, right? So the way that you become the empty shell is by allowing everything else to be released, which again means it's got to come up. So things are going to happen in your life. They're going to push your buttons. Stuff is going to come up. But when it comes up, instead of trying to control things, trying to manipulate things, trying to get back to where you feel comfortable again, you practice this rest stance. You be still. You let it come up. You let the storm happen until the storm wears itself out. That's healing. And every time you do that, you're going to be a little emptier than the time before, right? And eventually, you become the empty shell that instead of being moved by the ego personality, is moved in this world by God. In other words, we talked about, before we turn the recorder on, we talked about divine law, the law of love, and how everything is being communicated at an unconscious level. For instance, some people at an unconscious level want to be the victim, and some victimizer will pick up on that and in some way victimize them, right? When you are the empty shell, you don't hear or respond to those lower vibration messages. You only hear and respond to the higher vibration messages, right? So you won't, if you could be around somebody that's sending out the loudest victim signal in the world, and you will have compassion for them. You won't even shift into annoyance. You won't shift into anything that responds to that lower level signal. The personality, with all of its judgments and values and opinions, it picks up on those lower vibration signals and it responds to them. That's why you do get annoyed with people and frustrated and all of that, right? You're picking up on those signals and you're responding. But as you let go of the personality in you, you let go of the judgments, the values, the beliefs, right? And you become emptier and emptier. And you're only filled with God. You do not have the ability to pick up on those lower vibrations. You only then respond to the higher vibration calls in everyone. That's beautiful, I think. Yeah, that's beautiful. And so, again, in order to get to that point, we have to remember this resting process. Resting rather than reacting, right? So verses 17 to 21. Nothing is happening in the mind when anything but love is perceived. Be willing to loosen the hold on nothing by trusting the stillness, which nothing is not. So this is calling all of those appearances that come from the personalities, you know, hatred, judgment, anger, jealousy, envy, I can't think of them all, but control, manipulation, you know, the list goes on and on and on. This is calling all of those things nothing. Right? That's the label it's putting on. Those things are nothing. And it says that nothing is happening in the mind when anything but love is perceived. So if I perceive you as being prideful, I think you're, oh, he's so prideful, he has such a big head, blah, 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 blah. Nothing is happening in my mind right now, which really means ego is happening in my mind right now. But nothing of value, you could say that's what this means, nothing of value is happening in my mind right now because of the way I'm thinking about you. And so I have to be willing to loosen my hold on nothing of value. I have to want only what is of value, right? By trusting the stillness, this resting process. Not by trying to repress my thoughts about you, but by going into my breathing or dropping into my heart or dropping into my mantra and letting this chatter, chatter, chatter wear itself out and leave, you know, let it die. By trusting the stillness, which nothing is not, because nothing is not stillness. Nothing is the chatter, 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 right? Trust within the stillness. Your true peace is known here. Trust within the stillness until the images of the mind have been transformed. And this, again, this is not complicated. It's not complicated to understand whenever ego is coming up in me, my job is to be still and do nothing. But it gets very difficult for people because they believe so much in the world and so much that they need to control and fix things. When things start going wrong, they do anything but this practice, right? Which means, yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is, which means they're continuing to communicate all that stuff on the divine law of love, and the world continues to be the world. So that's Revelation chapter 15 and 16, and primarily it was asking us to practice what, as you all know, I call rest, accept, and trust. So I don't know if you will have any upsets happen this week, but why don't we just say, if you do, the assignment this week is to try this. Respond in this way rather than whatever your ego personality wants you to do to try and fix things. How's that sound? Okay.
I know, but I love that chapter too.
Yeah, it's a good chapter, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to stop the recording if I can. It's hard sitting sideways like this. And then what we do usually is we just